You're watching Channel 5. This is King Television, Seattle. It's now 11:30.
The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
From Hollywood, The Tonight Show, starring Johnny Carson. This is Ed McMahon, along with Doc Severinsen and the NBC Orchestra, inviting you to join Johnny and his guests, Jack Benny, Mel Blanc, Maria Muldoon, Jim Jensen, and Kermit the Frog, and Dr. Irwin Maxwell Stillman. And now, here's Johnny.
I tell you something, you might as well forget it. I don't go all the way on the first joke. Remember this? Who yelled "take it off" up there? Oh, I thank you. Yeah. I thank you for that warm welcome. I wish I had something nice for you. But we'll do the monologue. You sound good tonight.
Good crowd.
Really, last night we had it was a nice crowd, but hostile. Not hostile, mean. There was kind of a crowd last night we had that would take the annual cardiac patient's field trip to see The Exorcist. To give you an idea. No, did you see that crowd last night? I've never seen so many people in one sleeping bag in my life. Came in here. Well, it was a little chilly here this morning in Los Angeles.
I'll let my group do it.
That's the only reason you come here, right? Just to get that. Well, I said this morning, it was a little cold. I was up early. It was so cold, I saw a brass monkey thawing himself by sitting on my radiator. You know what happens when it gets cold. Thank you for being here, and you know, it was gorgeous today. You'll have to admit, in Los Angeles. Right. You see, the wind comes in. I don't know where it comes from. That's not the Santa Ana wind. That comes off the desert.
Just a regular wind.
Just a regular wind, and it blows all of the smog out of the basin, and the visibility today, you could see every jack-in-the-box sign from here to Zuma Beach. Hey, speaking of that, I tried to take Ed to see The Exorcist the other night. He wouldn't go. He held out for Demon Rum. You're possessed by the Gallo brothers, I think, hiding in there. We gotta drive Ernest and Julio out of your system now. Well, let's see. Beg your pardon? I didn't hear that. Standing out here trying to do material, they're interested in why I'm standing. They don't care about it.
Right. Oh, you're not standing right.
What is this? Well, there's good news and bad news. Well, I'll give you the bad news first. The cost of living has reached an all-time high. The good news is the cost of dying is still within everyone's reach. I think it's kind of nice. No, the price of food is so bad. I saw Jack LaLanne today. He's so weak he couldn't even break his own bread. Remember, 1, 2, 3, 4. Boom. Yeah. No, you see, I just said he was so weak. That you're supposed to do that before, you see, and then I do one of those. Woo! Man up there with a propeller and a beanie. Here's an interesting item from Sweden. There's a town in Sweden that gives you gas if you donate blood. Is that wild? That's got to be crazy at a gas station. You drive in, and if you're quart low, you don't know whether it's you or the car. Now, ring it a boom. No, they stick a hose in your car, then in your arm. Ring it a boom. See if you like this one. Here's an item from New Haven, Connecticut, usually a town of a lot of laughter. A judge ruled in New Haven, this was in the paper today, that a woman can get welfare as soon as she is pregnant. Isn't that an interesting decision? No. I've heard a lot of lines to pick up girls, but hey, honey, you want to get on welfare?
Ha, Why don't you try a couple more off
the
star?
That program falls under the jurisdiction of the HEW.
What's that?
Health, Education, and Whoopee. Now, let's see what else happened. Oh, you've heard me remark about our staff bachelor, Craig Tennis. Craig takes out a lot of interesting girls. Not lookers. They're not the best-looking girls. He's got a new girl. Not attractive, would you say?
No.
Let me put it this way. She is so ugly. I'm going to tell you. If you tied a whitefish around her neck, her cat still wouldn't go near it. Ugly girl.
That's ugly.
How about some political news? Look, this is not a contest, folks. You understand? Gerald Ford, as you know, is our new vice president. I think he is doing a pretty effective job. You've got to admit they're a good team. You see him making a speech the other day? Ford keeps making speeches, and you can't even see Nixon's lips move. It's really wonderful. You'd be wearing that suit, I'd get some laughs. We're going to have a great show tonight. Don't let this give you any indication. This is just a little get acquainted. We were going to have George C. Scott on the show tonight to teach a dolphin to speak, but Larry Zonka couldn't make it. See, laughs aren't everything. Courage. That's what you need. What? It's a nice dress you have on. Okay, now, tonight on the show... Well, this is called self-defense night here. Gotta come out of here with a bazooka just to face this crowd. Tonight we have... This is a great show tonight. Mr. Jack Benny is here tonight. We have... Along with the gentleman you all know, you've heard his voice so many times. Bugs Bunny, Porky the Pig. He does all the great cartoon voices. Was a regular on Jack's show for many years. Mr. Mel Blanc is here tonight. The singer, is going to be very good, I think. She's a fine new talent. Maria Muldaur is with us tonight. We have Jim Henson and the Muppets, and Dr. Irwin Maxwell Stillman is here tonight. Yeah. And he'll be right here. Now, usually applause is still going while I do this. A word from Behold Furniture Polish to give your furniture a beautiful natural shine.
Yep. We're back.
Yes, indeed. This crowd's a little the Joiners, this group.
Town
meeting of the year. Remember that on radio? They're a lot like that. Just yell out your thoughts.
It's like a symposium tonight.
What's on your mind, just yell it right out.
If you just join us, we have Jack Benny, Mel Blanc, Maria Muldaur, a new singer, Jim Henson, and the Muppets.
Great.
Yeah, she is. And Dr. Irwin Maxwell Stillman, who was supposed to be with us last night, but we ran late. But the good doctor stayed out here. Are you familiar with us? Have you got anything to say before we can get going?
No. I'm anxious to hear what you're going to say.
Are you really? Well, you may be a cult of one. This is a... I'm not familiar with this magazine.
Women's World?
Women's World? Is that a...
Oh, that's a big magazine.
I thought it was a new magazine.
No, Supermarkets.
It's a new fine magazine. Well, they have some articles in here today that aren't going to help it too much, I don't think. Here's one here called 25 Ways to Beat the January Blahs.
Oh, that's important. We all have that.
It says, without doubt, January is the longest and dullest month of the year. The holidays are over, the company's gone, the sky is gray. Oh, that's kind of the rhymes there. And you're feeling glum, glum. Life is cold. In other words, they tell you what to do to get rid of the January blahs.
You got around to this very late. We could have helped this a couple of weeks ago. It's almost February.
Well, we didn't think of this idea until...
There's a blah right there.
We would change it to February if we had to, just to get it in. Now, aren't these exciting? This is that they tell you here. How to get... I'll get rolling. Don't worry about...
Rhythm's off a little bit.
Rhythm's just a little...
Just a tiny bit.
Little touch off. What were you doing 6 months ago? Whatever it was, do it again. That's what they tell you to do. Reread that novel that you read at the lake last summer. It will remind you of quiet vacation days. Or read the novel you plan to read on vacation. That's what Woman's World says. This is going to go right into the pipe.
Your performance, though, I think, is aiding it.
Performance is bound to help this. Spend an afternoon with summer memories.
Oh.
Pull out the photo album with shots of last summer's picnics, parties, and events. You can meander through a whole summer's fun by going through your album. That's one of the things they... Think spring. You see, bright, fresh colors will go far to brighten up your mood. I'm going right in the toilet. When windows must stay closed against the winter cold, add springtime your room with an air freshener. Now, isn't that a brilliant idea, how to put an air freshener in your room? It gets better. They have some other more startling ones here. Don't just sit there, grow something. Just when you're sure you'll never see a green leaf again, let alone a bushy tree. Grow your own greenery. That's what they tell you to do. Get organized.
Oh, yes.
Do the things that you've been putting off. Let's see. Even the setup is no good. Go project mad instead of watching TV. Plan and start a project. When you're feeling glum, don't force yourself to finish a chore you hate. I thought it was the other way around. If you're feeling bad, you should finish something. They say forget it. Yeah. Little things mean a lot. Get your hair cut.
That's going to relieve the January
blues. Yes, that's what they say. Buy wild new frames for your eyeglasses. Rejuvenate an old suit. Now, you see, I don't know much about the magazine, but I think the problem is that they don't understand January at all.
Well, I mean,
January is a bad month.
They didn't. I think some things might be added to that article.
Yes, that's what we thought, because...
Normally, I would say that everything was covered in there, but in this particular article, I won't say that.
No, and I'll tell you why, because they don't understand. January is the stinking month, and...
I knew you wouldn't spend that much time with all of that unless you had something else to tell us.
That's right. They've missed a lot of dandies. January's a bad month.
But hopefully you have some remarks to add to that.
I certainly do. We have some ways to beat the January blues. Make something hemorrhage. See, now, I mean, this will pick you right up. Go into your bathroom and keep flushing the toilet until you make the tidy bowl man seasick.
There you go. Now we're getting there. That's it.
Wasn't in there. Forget January by remembering August. Turn the heat up to 85, make a couple of gin and tonics, and use a red felt pen to draw prickly heat on your kids. Build and install a window feeder for hungry peeping toms. Sell airsick bags in the lobby of The Exorcist. Take your second car and turn it into a giant planter. You've got no other use for it anyway. Can't get any gas. Feed pigeons Alka-Seltzer and watch them fizz on a statue. This will get you out of that January blouse. Now, you bet I'm rolling, fellas. Strap a Reader's Digest magazine to your knees and go to a leprechaun Christian Science reading room. Invite an oil company executive to your home, and when he asks for a drink, take him out to your car and siphon 4 gallons of gas down his throat. And, of course, the best way to get through January is to drive naked through a stop sign, which will get you 30 days in jail, and you'll get out in February. You won't have to worry about it. There we are, you see.
And that covered it.
That covered it. Oh, all right. Now, we'll take a brief pause. Jack Benny's going to join us. He's got some piece of small film clip from his special coming up tomorrow night, Thursday on NBC. And I think Jim Jensen with the Henson with the Muppets has also got some film. I'm going to do some things. And we'd like to welcome a new sponsor to the show. Did you know we have a new sponsor?
Vic Penn.
Good. Just want to know if you're up on this. Watch this. Now watch this one. My first guest tonight is a close friend, the husband of Mary Livingston. Star of the special, which airs tomorrow night on NBC from 8 to 9 right here on this network. And in the worlds of music and comedy, he's a giant. Would you welcome Mr. Jack Benny? Yeah. You throw a kiss almost as good as Dinah Shore used to do. Mwah! How are you?
Hello, Johnny. I was watching you in the other room.
Yes.
I love that Jack LaLanne joke.
Well, you got
one Milton Berle won't take.
Yeah, sure.
Although you read something in the book that I wish I could do.
Which one was that?
The line where it says, do something now that you haven't done in a long time. Or something.
I won't ask what
I
it
could
is.
Do.
How are you? You're looking
I'm
good.
Fine.
We had more fun on your doing your special, which is on tomorrow night. In a few minutes, we'll show you. I don't know what you brought tonight. Freddie DeCordova told me you brought a little piece of the tape, and I didn't know you were going to leave this in the show.
Yeah.
I got silly during rehearsal.
Can I do something?
Sure, anything you want to do.
Because that's why I brought out a cigar. You know, I never smoke a cigar.
You never really light them. You don't smoke.
No,
you carry them around.
I smoke only a little bit of a cigar. And the last time I was on your show, I wanted to do a story, a joke about what happened when I drove here to be on your show, and I forgot about it. It has to do with a cigar. And twice I was going to do it and forgot. So this time I thought if I came out with a cigar, then I wouldn't forget it, you see? Well, what happened was, and don't go into a commercial because this only takes 40 minutes.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. But what happened was, you know, when I drive to come on your show or drive to go to Burbank or anything, I always take Laurel Canyon
right.
or... the other one.
Cold Water Canyon.
Now, let me tell you something that happened. I was really driving to come to your show. You're not supposed to smoke when you're driving through Cold Water Canyon.
It's a fire zone. They have big signs.
You're really not allowed to. You get a ticket if a policeman stops you. And I had a cigar, and I was smoking, and I only take a couple of puffs, no matter how expensive. Now, this cigar, these are maybe three for a dollar. Now, that's fairly
Dipes.
Expensive. That's fairly
three
expensive.
Three for a buck, yeah.
But when I smoke a cigar, I only smoke just a tiny bit. I only take a puff or two, and I throw it away. And I'm driving through Cold Water Canyon, and I'm smoking. I know I shouldn't be, you see. And finally, I had a big piece of it left. I only smoked to it, and I threw it out of the window, right out on the street, like this. See? And sure enough, a policeman comes along behind me, and he stops me. And he recognized me, and he laughed a little bit, you know, because he recognized me. He says, you know, Mr. Benny, you should know better than that. You know you must not smoke when you go through any of these canyons. And not only that, but you took a cigar, this is what starts fires, and you threw your cigar away. So then I made up a lie, and I said to him, officer, I didn't, this is a true story that I said. I said, officer, I didn't throw the cigar away. I did stop smoking, and I happened to have the cigar in my hand out of the window, and it just slipped out of my hand. And he didn't want to, but he says, look, I saw you throw the cigar away. So I said to the officer, look, you want to do me a favor? Now, if I threw it away, you just stop me. It can only be about a half a block away. I'll get into your car with you, and we'll go back, and I'll prove to you that I did not, that the cigar slipped out of my hand. I didn't throw it. So he laughed. He said, all right, get in the car. So we drove back, and sure enough, about a half a block or a block, this cigar was lying there about this big, and I picked it up, and I gave it to the policeman. I said, now, officer, do you really believe that a stingy type, SOB like myself, would throw away a cigar this big?
Case dismissed. Yeah.
So, He laughed so hard. He thought that was very, very funny. He says, all right, you made me laugh, and that was funny. And I'm not going to give you a ticket. But do not smoke again when you go through. And that was the end of that.
That's a funny story. So,
and that's the only reason I brought up, because I wanted to tell you this before, and I always forget. You want this?
No.
Well, Freddie, you want it? I got another one if you want it.
Huh? These are three for a dollar.
Don't they make more expensive cigars? I've heard of $2 cigars.
But no matter, you know, no friend of mine will ever give me a good cigar because they know I take two puffs and throw it away.
Yeah, some of the people, don't they keep their cigars in humidors down at stores, and they go there and have their own special humidor? Very expensive cigar.
Yeah, well, this isn't very interesting. What should we talk about now?
How about your party you had the other night? You and Mary had some friends at a party the other night celebrating your anniversary, and it was a lovely party out at, what was the Chinese place? On Santa Monica. Madame Wu.
Mary and I had our 47th wedding anniversary.
27 years.
And you know that Mary and I get along great.
What is the secret? Because I have not been that fortunate.
I think I love her. Well, the secret, I think, is when you're compatible. When you get along, it isn't. Sex isn't everything, you know. Damn it. But anyway.
We're going to come back and follow up on that in just a second. Find out what is everything. We'll be back after the short word of interest and then...
Freddy, I didn't mean that.
Welcome back to the marital game. We're talking about Jack and Mary being married 47 years and how you get along.
And then you're...
Be compatible.
You ask me how we get along. We get along great. We've always gotten along great. I can't imagine being married to anybody else. Now, I do say something on the stage, but I don't think I've ever said it on television, that in the 47 years that we've been married, the way I tell it on the stage is that if I were to say that we've never had a fight or an argument, you'd know I'd be lying. But I can truthfully say that Mary and I have never had an argument, let's say, or a fight big enough where the word divorce was used. Murder, yes.
Glad
you led me in there.
I like that.
I remembered it from the stage.
Did you ever separate at all? I mean, did you ever get mad where you moved out for a day or two?
The first week we were married.
First week?
The first week, she didn't like a necktie that I wore. And we were, about the first month it was we were married. And she didn't like a necktie, and she wanted me to change it, and I wouldn't change it, because I liked it. And she left and went home to Los Angeles, and I didn't see her for about three more weeks until I got there.
Just because she didn't like
the
necktie?
Because I wouldn't change the necktie. I was stubborn. But I went back and I saw her, and she was glad to see me. I had on a different necktie. I didn't wear the same necktie. In fact, I never wore it again.
Now,
this is it. This is
the necktie
time
right there.
I had it on. Yeah.
Now we're going to show you a piece of tape from Jack's show, which comes up tomorrow night, and I have not seen this myself. Does this need... You want to tell them what happened on this?
Yes.
Because
let me tell
I
you
didn't
what,
know you were going to leave this in
let
the
me
show.
Tell you what
I
happened.
I did this just for you.
Yeah, you did it. You thought you were going to play me a dirty trick.
Right.
And here's what happened. He and I... In fact, you're on pretty early on the show.
Yeah, right up front.
I must remember to tell everybody. To tell who's all on the show. See, you're the first one on.
Right. You got George Burns.
That's right.
Red
George
Fox.
Burns, Red Fox.
Dinah Shore. The DeFranco family.
The DeFranco family with Tony DeFranco.
Right.
Who else have we got on?
Me.
And you. Well, I said you.
Oh,
I
good.
Said you were the first one.
Good, good.
You know. And anyway, when he made his exit, Johnny was supposed to come back and say one more thing and make an exit. So he came back and forgot what he was supposed to say. So So he walked off. Then he came back again and said the wrong thing and did this about four times. And finally, to make up for it, he came back the last time.
Here's
the clip. He did this to me. Here's the clip. This is what he looked like.
This is classy comedy, folks.
Classy comedy.
Are you showing the first time?
You know. Now, look, John, I'm trying to do a special, and this is no time to talk business. It makes you look cheap.
What?
I said it makes you look cheap. Look, Johnny, there's a time for everything. Money and everything. There's a time for business, a time to eat, a time to sleep, a time to make love.
Oh, you remember, huh?
Of course I remember. It's like roller skating. Some things you never forget.
When you get angry, your eyes dance. Do you know that?
They do?
Yeah. You're a loving doll.
All right. Well, do me a favor now. Get out of here, will you? Get off the stage.
All right.
And let me carry you on.
Okay.
We have a long show.
All right.
And another thing. I'm going to tell you something.
Yeah.
And I told you before, you're never going to be on my show again.
Oh.
Just remember that.
All right.
Okay. And I'll tell you something else. Wait, I'm not coming to your party Saturday night either.
You weren't invited.
How did he find out?
How did I find out? I'm catering it. Try to be a nice guy. You know, he doesn't realize what a tough time I had finding that out.
I think you shot it and stuck it.
Now,
real classy comedy.
Now, ladies and gentlemen.
That was the third time we had done that particular scene.
Ladies, let me tell you what I did to him, and he doesn't know it till now. We left that in my show.
That's in
tomorrow night.
Well, I just did it to break you up. I've blown that line about three times walking off, and I said, what could you do in all in a tuxedo and black tie that would be so klutzy? I says, you drop your pants. But I never thought to. Did you ever resort to that to get a laugh?
Never. I walked on with no pants, but I never dropped them like that.
I didn't mention this on the opening of the show because I'm not going to tell them, but next February the 14th, Valentine's Day, is your birthday,
right,
which is a lovely day to have a birthday. It is coming up. Have you told people yet that you're over 39? I mean, officially.
Well, I don't like to tell my right age because let them guess. Anybody who wants to guess over 39 is all right with me. How old? You're right.
He knows. Do you believe that? He knows. Everybody in the world would be a liar here if anybody said you even look close to 80, and I mean that.
I know, but it scares the hell out of me, just the same.
No, it doesn't. It shouldn't.
I feel better now at 80. I will be 80. I feel better than when I was actually 39. You know why?
Yeah.
Because when I was 39, I was still some kind of a star, wasn't I?
You were certainly, of course.
All right. But I was worried because at 39... You worry. You want to sustain. You want to remain a star. But now, at this age, where are they going to throw me? They're not going to throw me out anyplace. It's too late. So
that
I'm not worried anymore.
I know they're going to have a big series of parties for, I understand, down in Palm Springs to celebrate the 80th birthday. 80 years. That's remarkable. Well, I hope I just can sustain a third as long of the time as you have in this business, really.
And George Burns is almost as old as I am.
George is what, 2 years younger?
2 years younger.
78.
Yeah, he's 78. I think he looks older than I do, don't you?
No, he doesn't. I didn't mean it. George, I didn't mean it.
You know what he does on our show?
George, well, come on.
You know what he does on my show, which you'll see tomorrow night? We play two statues in Rome. And we're supposed to be 500 years old. And he insists on singing. And we trained about 20 pigeons. That the minute he starts, and we got him trained. You can train all animals to do anything. As soon as he sings, these 20 pigeons jump on his head. And you'll see it in the show tomorrow. He's very funny in that show.
That's tomorrow. Eight
you're funny, too,
eight
on the show.
Thank you.
Everybody's
it was fun being on the show. We'll take a brief
Red
pause.
Fox is funny on the show.
We'll be right back after this. Those of us and those of you who follow Jack's radio show over the years remember the wonderful cast, of course, with Mary and Don Wilson and Rochester, Dennis Day, Phil Harris, even going back to the days of Kenny Baker, one of the men on his show who played so many different characters and, as you probably know, has done the voices of most of the famous cartoon characters from Bugs Bunny to Porky Pig to Barney Rubble of the Flintstones. And we'll talk about some of the other things that Mel has done on your show over the years. He's really some artist. Would you welcome Mr. Mel Blanc? How are you, Mel?
Good, thank you, Johnny.
Bee-bee-bee-bee-bee, is that it?
Pretty close.
That's very smart. How many years did you work before people actually saw you doing anything? I mean, you people who do voices and start with voices do very well in the business. A lot of my friends like Junie Foray and other people who do the voices, everybody hears them, but don't very seldom see them until television came along, right?
That's right. I started radio in 1927.
27?
You have an idea how I'm older than Jack Benny.
No. You started that early?
1927, a program in Portland, Oregon called the Hoot Owls, in which I sang a song. My brother Henry accompanied me, and I sang this crazy little song.
Yeah.
Wanna eat, wanna eat, wanna eat it.
How does one get into that rather small group of people who do voices? You show up, or do people say, we want a voice of something, and you go in and audition for a particular character? Or...
No, I tried for a year and a half to get into Schlesinger cartoons. And head of the company, or head of the voice department, kept saying, we have all the voices we need. We don't need anybody. And I kept this up for every 2 weeks. I'd go there, and he kept saying the same thing. I said, just listen to me anyway. And kept saying, I have all the voices we need. Finally, the guy died. Not nice to laugh at the dead. Well, anyway, I went to the next guy in charge, a guy by the name of Treg Brown, and I told him that I would like to have him hear me. He said, sure, what can you do? I auditioned for him, and then he said, great, would you do it for the directors? So I auditioned for the directors, and one of the directors said, can you do a drunken bull?
A drunken bull?
Yeah, that had eaten some sour mash. And I had to... That's not him. And,
Well, that's from that picture you saw.
Yes.
And I thought, yes, I said, I can do a drunken bull. He said, how would it sound? I said, well, it'd sound a little like you was looking for some sour mash. He said, great, what are you doing Tuesday? He said, let's say Tuesday. I wasn't doing a darn thing. I said, yeah, I think I can make it all right.
Just to squeeze
and that
it
was
in.
The first voice I did in the cartoons. And the director that asked me to do it was Frank Tashlin, who's now a director in pictures.
I certainly is. How did Bugs Bunny come about? Did you audition for that?
No, they showed me a picture of this crazy little character. They said he was tough, told me what the storyline was going to be. And I thought, let's see now, which is the toughest voice in the United States? It's either Brooklyn or the Bronx. So he said, why don't I put the two together?
So, that's what came out, Doc.
What is funny, when they do these voices to cartoons, and we tried to show it one night, and it didn't work because we couldn't get the proper setup, is when they show a cartoon or an animated picture, and you see people like Mel and Alan Reed and June Foray and Paul Frees and somebody who do a lot of these voices, watching the cartoon and standing around a microphone for adult people doing these voices is the funniest thing. That is hysterical. They should film that. You know, grown men going... and going home after a day's work. Now, for years, when I listened to Jack's show...
They filmed everything that he did on my show, and he did all the characters. He did... First place, you did the train announcer, didn't you? How did you do that?
Train leaving on track 5 for Anaheim, Azusa, and Cucamonga.
Then you'd add something.
Don't get off at Cucamonga. We don't stop there.
You know, for years now, people who lived back in the Midwest didn't know there was a place as Anaheim, Azusa, and Cucamonga. We thought we never heard of such places. We better make them up.
Let me tell you, we did one show. He stopped in the middle of Cook for a long time, and I said something, and then listen to what he said. Do the one where you said Anaheim, Azusa, and Cucamonga.
Anaheim, Azusa,
train,
and...
Start with train...
Train leaving on track 5 for Anaheim, Azusa, and Cucamonga.
Oh, no.
Cucamonga.
No! Damn it, you spoiled it. Let's try it again.
Tired of it?
No. I wanted to hear the way you actually did it. Train leaving on track. Give me my seat.
This is the rehearsal. Try it. Rehearsal, all right.
You can go out.
Okay.
All right. Train.
Train leaving on track 5 for Anaheim, Azusa, and Cook.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Amanga.
Amanga.
He 40 years ago, I don't remember.
40 years, he remembers everything.
When I used to listen
to your show, I'm going to ask him this. And you would go out in the Maxwell and start the car.
Yeah.
I'd say those are the wildest sound effects I've ever heard in my life because most mechanical things are done by a recorded thing. And Mel used to do it when I'd go see the radio show. Mel would stand up on the stage.
Yeah, I used to say...
And the audience would go into hysterics.
I used to say, Rochester, get the Maxwell started because I want to leave. And Mel would be the Maxwell. Gee, you ought to have a mic right near you.
Can
you drop this down?
Put in the picture. Don't worry.
Yeah. So I said, get the Maxwell started. And he would go out, and you'd hear the Maxwell, and this would be it. Go ahead. Maxwell still sounds like that without him,
And the studio audience used to fall down from laughter watching Mel do these
things.
Freddie's trying to tell us something.
The English horse.
Oh.
How they tried to catch him.
Wait, you've got to hear this. You know, we used to do weeks of westerns called Buck Benny Rides Again.
Right, with Andy Devine.
So we'd have a horse. Andy Devine would be on it. He'd call me Buck and everything. So he would do the horses. So first do just the horse, the Winnie. That's right. Now, one day my writers and I got together and we said, let's play a dirty trick on Mel Blanc and see what he does at rehearsal. He must comment on it. So we said, let's write in an English horse. For no reason. Now, we thought, certainly, he must say to us, what the hell does this mean, an English horse? He never said a word to us, never opened his mouth. When it came time to do the English horse, this is what he did. We didn't even know it. Never said a word to us. Just did it.
That is great.
What else did we do?
The
seesaw.
Yeah. The Mexican. Yes, Used to do the Mexican...
Always the Mexican routine. And it always went the same way, and people screamed at the same things. And I would see him, he'd be a Mexican. Let's say I'd be at a railroad station.
You know the routine you used to do when you did the Treasure of the Sierra Madre? And he kept saying, see? Remember
yeah, that's
that,
it.
You know
that's the routine. So I would say, I'd go up to him, and I'd say, pardon me, are you leaving for Mexico City?
Si.
Is your train late?
Si.
Have you been waiting here a long time?
Si.
What's your name?
Sai.
Sai?
Si.
Is that a friend of yours sitting with you?
Si.
Your sister?
Si.
I'm afraid to ask this next one. What's her name?
Sue.
Sue?
Si.
Oh, what else? Where'd we go from there?
What does she do for a living?
Huh?
What does she
oh,
do
yeah. Oh, this one. Finally, I said to her, what thing? This wasn't even the script. I said, what does she do for a living?
So.
So?
So?
See. Oh, those are great routines.
Great.
Those were some of the best constructed comedy moments ever on radio.
So little dialogue.
Great construction. Boom, 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 then the topper, and then the topper, mm-hmm. and... We'll take a brief pause. We'll be right back. Stay with us.